We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning, USA!
Yo, 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 yo,
Charlamagne the God.
Beast of the Planet, it's Thursday!
Yes, it's Thursday. Good morning. How you feeling?
Man, I am blessed, black, and highly favored, man. I am happy to be here today, live from the Black Mothership, the Breakfast Club.
That's right.
Happy to everybody, happy that everybody is listening to us this morning. Thank you. We don't take it for granted. I appreciate you all.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Yes, indeed.
Now, the weather here yesterday was off and on with rain yesterday. So my son had his baseball World Series. Shout out to everybody that plays baseball or softball. I know the World Series or the playoffs are happening right now for you guys. So they won yesterday. Drop a bomb for little Jackson.
That's dope, man. It's good to see Dominicans carrying
on
tradition.
Shut up, man. I knew you were going to say that. Shut up.
What do you mean? That's good. You've got to... Dominican child.
I'm black. He's not Dominican, but
okay.
Congratulations to their team. It was a great experience. So shout out to them. They won 3-0 yesterday. It rained. Then they were gonna cancel a game. Then the sun came out. Then it rained again. But they did finish that game and play it yesterday. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations, man.
Now on today's show, Terrence Crawford will be joining us.
Terrence Crawford. I cannot wait to see Terrence Crawford and Earl Spence get busy on July 29th. That is. Let me see. Was that the fight of the decade? Yes, absolutely. I would say that.
Mm-hmm.
By far. That's one that we've all been anticipating, waiting for.
Absolutely.
I got Earl Spence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've told Terrence that before when he came a long time ago before this fight. We even thought this fight was ever going to happen.
That is true.
You know, so.
That is true.
I got to stick by my guns, right?
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if you stick by him with this interview. And also, the cast of Blackening will be joining us.
Yes, Grace Byers will be here.
Yvonne
Perkins, Yvonne Orji, Cinqua Walls.
Jay Farrow,
and Antoinette Robinson.
That's right. So we're going to be kicking him with them. And the Blackening is a horror/comedy that we'll be chopping it up with. That comes out this weekend.
That right there sums up the black experience in America.
Yeah.
It is a horror/comedy.
That's right.
It really is.
All right. We're going to be chopping it up with them in a little bit. All right, but let's get in some front page news. When we come back, Tesla and Figaro will be joining us. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club on BET. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. So we heard a Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What was that?
I don't know what that was.
Damn.
Let's get in some front page news.
Oh, bro. You got acid reflux at 6 o'clock in the morning for no reason?
I'm drinking a sparkling water. That's why.
Damn.
All right. Good morning, Tez.
Good morning, DJ Envy and Charlamagne the God.
Tezlin Figaro, what's happening?
Now, let's talk about this plane crash where 4 children were found alive after 40 days.
Yes, unbelievable story. After 40 days in the Colombian rainforest, 4 children ages 13, 9, 4, and 1 who have been missing since the plane they were traveling in crashed on May 1st have been found alive. When rescuers reached the site of the plane's wreckage last month, the bodies of the 3 adults on board were found, but there was no sign of the 4 children known to have been on the plane. Now, as of now, it is unclear how they managed to survive for so long in a thick jungle that is prone to heavy rain and contains jaguars. And yes, absolutely, being the snakes. However, they did say that these are indigenous children, so their knowledge about the jungle helped them survive.
That's God all That's day. Crazy. Drop on a clues bomb for God. God be God, and don't he?
Do we know the ages of those kids?
40 days and 40 nights.
Do we know the ages of those kids?
Yeah, the ages were 13, 9, 4, and 1.
4 and 1?
That's my family.
Jesus Christ.
Close to my family. I got 14, 7, 4, and 1.
Could you imagine a one-year-old in the jungle, 40 days, eating everything that they have to eat, and that one-year-old doesn't talk, and you got to wipe the... Wow, that's God.
That would be an amazing movie or an amazing TV show. Too bad there's nobody to write it, because all the writers...
Yeah, that's true.
All the writers are still on strike.
You know, I pay attention to numbers a lot, and I just thought the 40 days, you know, again, talking about 40 days and 40 nights, and, you know, it's just... Mm-hmm. It's a lot of significance to that. So it's really going to be interesting to see, you know, how this story continues to, I guess, unfold and we hear more about it. I did want to tell you a little bit about the plane crash, though, before we go to the next story. Mm-hmm. The pilot reported engine failure and declared an emergency before the plane disappeared from the radar about 7:30 a.m. on May 1st. After the plane crash and rescuers were on the scene, they used a recording of the children's grandmother telling the children to stay in place and that people were looking for them. So I thought that was really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, you should give him some more insight on the 40 days, 40 nights test. What do you say? Jesus' resurrection was 40 days, was it?
No,
there were 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and ascension.
Yeah, 40 is a deep number in general. Like, it's a lot of stuff you can talk about with 40 days and 40 nights, but 40 is a very significant number, you know, in the Bible. If you want to look it up, go look up numerology and look up the number 40.
Mm-hmm. And one last question. Was that a big plane, like a 747, or was that like a small engine plane?
No, it was a little small engine plane. Yeah, they were going from, you know, these were indigenous people, so they were going from, I guess, I don't want to say tribe because I don't want to misquote it, but just going from one area to the other. They were from the Amazon. So apparently these children knew how to find seeds and, you know, different types of food. And the 13-year-old, I believe they said, cut up some of the clothing to wrap the one-year-old. I mean, just got really creative.
I'm going to have to tell ChatGPT to write that movie, man.
Wow.
Yeah. And then one other thing I thought was so interesting. They left, the kids were leave, or the 13-year-old left little trinkets where they would, you know, go throughout to be found. So they would leave like scissors or a baby bottle of kind of leaving a track in order to find.
Like Hansel and Gretel?
Yes.
Damn.
This is a deep story. Wow. Yeah.
Now let's talk about the Southern Baptist vote to ban women pastors.
Yeah, Southern Baptists will have the opportunity to vote on a measure that would enshrine a ban on women pastors within the denomination. The amendment would require that no women at the church hold the title as pastor. A less binding agreement was already in existence for a very long time, but the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by scripture, but this vote would make it official. So that's always been something that the Southern Baptists church has believed in, that women cannot hold pastoral roles or minister roles, but people have done it throughout the years. But now they're deciding to, you know, decide, you know, if they should make it official or not.
What kind of terrible sermon did a woman give that made them say, you know what, no more women can give sermons here anymore? Lord have mercy. Yeah. They need to turn Pastor Sarah Jake Roberts on. I bet you they won't want to ban women pastors after they hear her. I tell you that.
Yeah, that's a lot of reason why the church went to non-denominational, like Pastor Sarah Jakes. a lot of the churches that you still feel that Baptist feel, you know, in the church, mm-hmm. but decided to go non-denominational so that women can have roles, you know, within the church and be called to be ministers.
So that's just good old-fashioned misogyny, or is that just the way the church is built?
Well, it's good old-fashioned misogyny coming from 1 Timothy 2:12 that says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Mm. Rather, she is to remain quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor.
Does that count for mamas and sons, too? What the hell?
Jesus.
What kind of logic is that?
Mm. Well, it is. That's why the Bible, the studies of the Bible, people can take comparative religion to see, you know, the context behind it. That's been a debate for a very long time in the Baptist Church. I remember that growing up as a little girl, where women, you know, really wanted to be in the ministry and they just could not. So,
mm-hmm. all right. Mm-hmm. Well, that is Front Page News. Thank you, Tez. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club on BET.
The Breakfast Club.
Yo, Charlamagne, Envy, what up? Are we live?
This is your time to get it off your chest.
I got an indoor pool, an outdoor pool.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
We can get on the phone right now. He'll tell you what it is.
We live?
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Shay.
Hey, Shay, good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
Hey, I just wanted to elaborate on that. The kids, the four kids, it was the 40 days. That was just so, I'm in here within tears. I read about the article, but when I heard you guys this morning, it was like, oh my God, that was nothing but God.
That was all
nothing
God.
All God,
that
everything.
Nothing but God.
Shay, you have kids?
Because I had four kids. Yes, I was just about to say, I had four kids myself, close to those ages. I had two toddlers, one and two, and I couldn't imagine my oldest trying to look after them and make sure they eat the right thing, make sure they don't touch and put the wrong things in their mouth,
yes.
and let alone change a diaper.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, four kids?
We didn't even though we do lean on the older kid a lot, I got a 14-year-old, even though we do lean on her. Like, I couldn't imagine that type of pressure.
Nah, 40 days.
Right, for that many days, though.
But you got to find shelter. You got to food.
Right.
Change pampers and all that.
Oh, my God.
Well, there is no pampers.
And trying to look out for yourself at the same time.
Yes.
And it says wild, it was wild animals and jaguars and stuff like that. You know what I was thinking?
Yeah.
I was thinking, too, though, you know, we are one with the world, right? We are one with nature. I wonder if, you know, those 40 days and 40 nights, I wonder if they felt, you know, more at peace there than they would, you know, in regular society.
Hey, I don't know. That's something, man.
Especially being that they're indigenous people. We're all indigenous people. We're indigenous to the land, you know what
I'm
mean?
I'm just thinking, like, if it thunders too loud, my kids are scared. So can you imagine what? Jesus Christ. It was
but, God. You know, when they are from their area, so you know, so of course they're used to a lot of things that our kids are not eating.
You're right.
Can't even stand them.
And by the way,
but that was nothing but God. I'm so glad that they came out on top and nothing was wrong.
And we might be projecting on them kids. We don't know what kind of covering God had over them. They might have felt a different. They might have felt at peace.
Yeah.
For all we know.
Yeah. That's right.
God might have just been giving them direction the whole time. You see, the little boy was, or the little girl. I don't know if a boy or girl was leaving trails for to be found. Like, absolutely. We don't know. We don't know what God was telling them kids in those 40 days.
Hello, who's this?
M,
what up? Get it off your chest.
Hey, man, I'm just saying I'm blessed, black and highly favored.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say, you know, I'm typical, mediocre, average, and in the form of bigotry.
Are you stuck in the low expectations of bigotry?
Yes, sir. Average to be a typical, mediocre, bigotry TSA worker.
Well, we appreciate all the TSA workers, man. We definitely do.
We definitely appreciate
y'all. Yeah, man, I just want to tell you guys, please, do not be mad at us when we take your bottles of water away. Don't bring it on board.
Yeah, I hate it myself. I'll be behind somebody, they got a bottle of water in their bag. Like, come on, you never flew before. You know you can't have a bottle of water.
Sometimes you forget.
Man, they be taking this on us, man. I want to pick up all the TSA workers across the world, man.
Absolutely. Have a good one, brother. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling.
800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, man. This is Beto.
Hey, what up, Beto? Get it off your chest.
Hey, man. I just wanted to call because we're heading to the Houston Car Show.
Oh, really? Where you coming from?
We're coming from Lincoln, Nebraska, and it's me and my wife and my three kids.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's like, what, a 20-hour drive?
Yeah, it's roughly like 15, but we have a baby, so it's going to take us a little longer.
Jesus. Okay, well, I can't wait to see you. My car show goes down this Sunday, Father's Day weekend. And, yeah, come on out. It's going to be old cars, new cars. We're going to have some cars from Dolph. We're going to have cars from 50, myself, Trey, Bun B, and a host of others. It's going to be a lot of fun. Kids 5 and under are free. There's going to be amusement rides and games for the kids. It's going to be a big family fun day. And you got everything straight? You got your tickets and everything?
No, I haven't got the tickets. I was going to get them when I get down there just because I am scared because, like I said, we're traveling with the baby. So I'm like, I don't know, we're going to have to stop a little bit more. So we're
going
to try to make it there on time.
Bro, it's Sunday. It's Sunday, and today's Thursday. You got enough time to get there. Just take your time.
Awesome, then. We should be there.
All right, well, you know what? You hold on. Hey, I got some tickets for you since you're driving that far.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. I do want to say something, though, real quick.
Go ahead, brother.
I do want to say Charlamagne is just mad at you because he can't reach the hair product. He's too short, but he's always, like, clowning on you. But he just hate on you, DJ.
First of all, I can go buy paint from any hardware store.
Girl, stop it.
Okay, I do not have to hate on DJ Envy's hair products. I can go get black paint from any hardware store and slather it all over my face.
He's a hater. Well, thank you, V. I appreciate you, brother. Yeah. And I'll see you at the car show. Hold on, all right? I'm going to get all your information.
All right, thank you, man.
All right, bro. Gina, good morning. Get it off your chest.
Good morning. So I just wanted to chime in on the whole female minister taxes that y'all was talking about. I am currently an ordained minister, and I'm a military chaplain. And I think it's ridiculous that people are still holding on to old, outdated beliefs that aren't helping progress the church at all. Like, the more they refuse and the more they fight against women being pastors, the more people are not going to want to continue into organized religion. They're going to continue to do what they're doing now. And it's not going to help, especially if they're trying to build a church when they're also hindering it at the same time.
I wonder, do we still need organized religion, though? Because I think that more people are spiritual more than religious nowadays. And I think that if we have places of worship where we just choose to gather and hear a good word, mm-hmm. it don't have to be under the guise of organized religion. Like, I love Bishop T.D. Jakes. I love Sarah Jake Roberts. I love tuning into the Potter House, you know what I mean? But I don't consider myself, mm-hmm. you know, a part of any organized religion.
And I think, yeah, organized religion for some is what they prefer because of the structure, and some people just like that. But then on the other hand, for like a lot of the newer generation that's coming around, yeah, structuralized religion is not the best option because that's just not for that generation. Now, my grandmother's generation, structuralized religion is something that's right up her alley.
That's right.
It's, you know, it was a lifestyle growing up. But as, you know, my age, my generation and thereafter, they're more free. They're more free will. They're more vocal. You know, they're not afraid to stand up and say, no, this isn't right. And some people just aren't willing to understand that and willing to understand that, yeah, women can preach and pastor, and some can do it better than men. Right. But it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
100%. And you know what else is crazy too, man? Like, the older you get, you just start to see so many contradictions in the Bible.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's just so many things in the Bible that just don't naturally agree with your spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can read it and be like, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up. When we come back, Boosie, well, he had to go to court in San Diego for that gun charge. But he got arrested. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
All right. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Boosie Badass.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is The Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on The Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes.
Right.
On The Breakfast Club.
Now, Boosie was in San Diego. He had a court case about a gun charge he got back in May. Well, as he was there, the state wound up dropping the charges. The case was dismissed. But when he walked outside, they said federal agents arrested him right as he walked out of the court.
Yikes.
Now, they're not saying why. They're not giving any information at all. They just know he was picked up yesterday, and Boosie left a message on his social media. He said, I want to take this time to apologize to my kids. I'm sorry, and I love y'all forever.
Yeah, I don't know what Boosie did, but I know when the feds grab you for whatever reason, it's not a good thing, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like somebody in the feds wants to test Boosie and see if he snitches. Mm. Like, I feel like someone in the feds has been watching his Vlad TV interviews, watching him on social media, and now they're going to test him to see if they can break him.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give him no bond, right?
Nah, no bond as yet. We haven't really heard much information as yet. So
what's the charge?
Nobody knows. They haven't said anything.
Did the state drop the gun charge and then the feds pick the gun charge up?
They're not saying anything. They're just saying the state dropped the gun charge. The charges were dismissed.
And he was just walking out and the feds picked him up?
And the feds picked him up. They're not saying what it was for.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. No line. No information online. Now, Gunna announces his first project since jail. It's called A Gift and a Curse, and it's coming out this Friday, June 16th.
What is it, an album, a song?
An album, full album.
He just going to drop on a Friday?
Just drop on a Friday.
And Gunna, I think you need a rollout. Yeah, Gunna needs, a little rollout. Like, Gunna need to sit down and have at least a conversation with somebody.
Maybe. Or, I mean, they're saying that the last single was doing pretty good, so... Maybe it's just put it out and see what the fans like.
Roll
out because it gives people too much time to say, you snitch, you did this, you did that. But just put it out and let the music talk for itself.
Well, the reality is most of the people online saying that he's a snitch, they're not even in the streets, no way. So they're going to listen to the music just to listen to the music.
Facts.
You know, but that's why I still think he needs to have a proper rollout as an artist.
Mm.
We was just having this conversation about how, what is it, the Billboard said hip-hop, no hip-hop album, no hip-hop single.
Yep.
Is number one, has been number one this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of stuff like this. Like, what is Gunna just dropping an album tomorrow for?
I think he's testing the water to see if people are effing with him or not. And I think he just wants to speak through his music. He doesn't want to do interviews, I'm sure. So he's just probably, you know, doing his interviews and saying what he has to say through his music.
Man, artists need to get back to doing traditional
things. But I understand why they did this with Gunna.
I don't. Like, he definitely needs a rollout. He definitely needs a conversation with somebody.
He's not going to talk. He's not going to speak.
That's not what the internet says. The internet says that's all he's been doing is talking. That's why he's in the predicament he's in now.
Yo, shut up.
What are you talking about? Are you not paying attention?
He's not going to do an interview.
No. Okay.
That's what I mean. Okay, say he already did an interview. Okay, that's it.
I'm not.
Okay. Mm-mm. Now, Sukihana NYK Osiris. Well, it seems like yesterday she deactivated her Twitter. This is after posting, "I am hurt and I am scared to stand up for myself." She says, "I drink to hide that. I'm very sensitive. I feel things more than the average person. I stopped drinking yesterday, but today I've been crying all day. I ask God to strengthen me and use me to help others and to order to steps in his words." I'm sorry. And then she says, "I just want to go away for a while." Now, this comes after YK Osiris was forcefully trying to kiss her.
Mm.
All right. Well, he apologized. Yesterday, he left a statement and said, "I want to publicly offer my sincerest apology to Sukihana. In an attempt to be playful, I misread the moment and violated Sukihana's boundaries. I understand the importance of consent, and I am embarrassed by my behavior. I take full responsibility and have made multiple attempts to apologize. I have the utmost admiration for Sukihana and was never my intention to disrespect her."
I wonder why YK Osiris doesn't know any better. Like, I understand he's 24 years old, and I know we didn't know any better when we was that age because we was raised wrong and we thought we was in the Nothing But A G Thing video every day. But there's absolutely no reason for a man in 2023, I would think, to be making those kind of mistakes. That's why I threw the what if scenario out there yesterday,
right,
that maybe they know each other and
correct,
have a relationship, because I'm like, there's no possible way someone would do that to a woman they don't have some history with. But clearly my hypothetical wasn't accurate, so
yeah, it was off.
Yeah, so we're gonna need YK Osiris to come to the front of the congregation this morning.
Yeah,
we gotta have a word with the young man.
Yeah, a longer clip was released yesterday with them going back and forth, but you know, if Sukihana says no, it's no.
Yes,
regardless, it doesn't matter how much we're flirting, how much we're going back and forth. If she says no, it's no. Now, Meek Mill jumped in and said, "Don't do this to him, please. He a good kid. Just slap him up, and he got to let you, I guess, have something. We don't need our young boys tore down for mistaking this hypersexual era. I support Suki. Hold that ish down on some street ish."
I understand what Meek's saying, but you still got to, show the young man the error in his ways.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
I think that's all people are trying to do. Like, they're just trying to show him the error in his ways because they don't want this to happen to Sukihana or anybody else.
Or him to do it again or think he can get away with it. So he has to fry. Not fry.
Not
meaning,
fry. God damn, Envy.
But I mean,
what the hell?
When I mean fry.
We that's need, what Meek is saying.
He's, no, and when I don't mean fry, Christ, like cancel him, but we need to have these conversations. He cannot just walk away without having a conversation.
You got
to
be
and
able
to. And,
right.
And he did the honorable thing. He did say he apologized. He did it early. He did it fast. But we still need to have these conversations to make sure women are protected and people don't go through this again. That's what I meant by
fraud. You know, it's so interesting, though, back in the day, right, when we were that age and, like, you know, we had all of these images, whether it was, like I said, the Nothing But A G Thing videos or the Freaknik, whatever it was that we used to see that used to, you know, push this kind of behavior. We had OGs around us telling us it was wrong, too.
Yeah.
We just weren't listening. When the C. Dolores Tuckers and everybody was out here saying, like, yo, that behavior is not right, that behavior is wrong, you know, we were telling them, shut the F up.
That's true.
You know? So now we are those older people telling this generation, that's not how you're supposed to
see, but the only difference is, you know, YK Osiris, he's a good kid, right? I've sat with him before, I've spoke to him before, I've been in clubs with him before.
I've only interviewed him, so I don't know.
And the young man made a horrible mistake, but like you said, back in the earlier days, there was no social media, so if you did make a mistake, the mistake was made, your hand was popped, you had that conversation, you were able to have some type of empathy. There is no empathy now, because it keeps going around and around and around and around, you know?
Yeah, but we also had a lot of music videos that were teaching us that inappropriate behavior, and, you know, we didn't know.
True.
It wasn't, we didn't know it was inappropriate back then. That's right. We just thought it was normal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but with that phone, there is no making a mistake anymore.
Not even that phone, with all the information social that we've media. Had over the years. True, like, you should know better. You should know better regardless.
No matter what video is on, your parents teach you a certain way. You shouldn't be trying to look at a Snoop Dogg video or a Big Pimpin' video realize. It's true.
But we did emulate that kind of stuff. Come on. Stop.
Some people did. I never slapped a chick on the ass at Freaknik or any of those things. I never did, because my parents raised me a certain way, regardless of what I seen on video or what I seen on certain things.
So why you always molesting me in here? Hmm? Why you always trying to smack my ass? Hmm? Why you always trying to hug me from the back? Hmm? Why do I have to have a don't play gay bill in this studio? Why do I have to set boundaries with you then? Hmm?
You never said no.
Hmm? Wow. Wow. I have.
No, you have not. Times. No, you have not.
Red.
Cap.
Wow. Wow. See? I'm all alone. Wow.
See?
Wow.
All right. Well, that is your rumor
y'all
report.
I really think I'm Charlotte with the good boonky.
Charlotte with the good boonky.
That's what y'all think, huh?
All right. When we come back, we got front page news. Teslin Figueroa is joining us. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. At special sneak previews across the country, audiences are discovering The Flash. Tonight, see why people are calling it absolutely sensational. The Flash, tonight, only in theaters. Rated PG-13, maybe inappropriate for children under 13. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Teslin Figueroa's back with us. Good morning, Tez.
Absolutely. Good morning, DJ Envy, Charlamagne.
Peace, Tez.
Now, let's talk about these drunk drivers having to pay child support. I think I like this.
I think you'll like this one. People convicted of intoxication manslaughter in Texas will now have to pay money to support the victim's children. Signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott on June 2nd, the person convicted will essentially pay child support in the form of monthly payments to fulfill the financial needs and resources of all of the surviving children until they turn 18 and graduate from high school. A version of the law was first introduced in Missouri after a woman lost her 30-year-old son to a drunk driving incident and was left to care for his two children. Payments will begin a year after the person is convicted in their release from prison, and this particular law goes into effect September 1st, 2023.
I like this.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, the fact that a drunk driver takes away a parent, a mother, a father, and now that child has to fend for himself, yeah, they should have to pay child support, make sure that child is good, that family's good until they're 18. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, I love it. If prison not scaring people, then hitting them in the pockets. Well, the only thing I would say about this is, what about the people who don't have anything to lose? The people who don't have any money, you know what I mean? The people who don't care. They're drinking because, you know, they already hit rock bottom.
Right.
You know? What about them?
Yeah, I mean, they still gotta pay somehow. I mean, they still should have to go to jail, but whatever they make, they should go to that family.
Yeah. Well, Texas has some of the harshest drunk driving laws in the country. So if that's not deterring them, this is just one more additional thing. You know, to your point, you know, Charlamagne, somebody's having a problem. You know, they're just having a problem. But Texas, just want to point that out. They do have some of the most harshest penalties in the country. So they wanted to add this on to it as well.
Yeah, we got to do something to slow down drunk drivers. I'm hearing more and more and more cases of people crashing, people getting DUI. So it's getting
which makes no sense in 2023 when we are in the ride share era.
Correct.
Like, how many highways and dieways, the choice is yours commercials do we have to see?
I'm with you. Now let's talk about AI. They're saying AI can help improve breast cancer risk predictions.
Yeah, a new study is showing yet another way that artificial intelligence is entering the medical field and potentially improving existing practices for predicting breast cancer risk. The study found that AI algorithms outperform the standard clinical risk model for predicting the five-year risk of breast cancer by providing the ability to extract hundreds of thousands of additional mammographic features. While some institutions are already using AI to help detect cancer on mammograms, these findings suggest AI can be a vital tool in helping a patient's future risk score, which takes seconds for AI to generate. They said that this tool will be able to help personalize precision medicine on a national level, which is currently not available. So I wanted to pull this story because I know how you guys feel about AI. I know we talked before about, you know, what can it do in the medical field, and wanted to see, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
I have no problem with AI if it can improve, you know, medical situations. I mean, I've had conversations with people before, and they say that's the only benefit they actually see to AI, the things that it'll probably be able to do in regards to science and medicine.
Yeah, I'm with it. I don't have a problem with AI when it saves lives, when it helps the world. Something like this, if it can improve breast cancer risk predictions, things like that, I don't have a problem with AI. It's just when they use other people's voices, other people's thoughts, when it takes jobs away from people that we can't do, that's when I have the problem, an issue.
Mm-hmm. And again, there's pros and cons to it. You know, I've looked at a lot of stories where, you know, AI is not getting it right in the medical field. I think we talked about it once before, you know, we're trying to replace, you know, doctors or giving advice, right, or, you know, those types of things, mental health, you know, talking to an AI computer and, you know, how is that, you know, making sure they give the right advice. So it's a slippery slope, you know, again, pros and cons, and just continue to see how this AI continues to develop and doing your research.
Yeah, I mean, I guess time will have to tell, because, I mean, it's fairly new. You know, people say things like, you know, AI will help, you know, to make the healthcare system more efficient and less expensive, but we'll see.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that is front page news. Thank you, Tez.
Oh, can I give a quick shout out?
Of course.
Yesterday, I went and talked to our comment caucus, is what I like to call them, on YouTube. And so it was great. We had over maybe almost 1,500 people that joined me on the Breakfast Club YouTube channel. And we talked about the news and, you know, went back and forth. We had a really good time.
Okay.
Word.
Well, too.
And make sure you subscribe to Tesla and Figaro's podcast, the Straight Shot No Chaser podcast, on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network.
All right. Now, when we come back, Terrence Crawford will be joining us. Of course, boxer. He's fighting Errol Spence Jr. July 29th on Showtime. And we're going to kick it with him next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club on BET.
The Breakfast Club.
Fight goes down July 29th.
Yes.
You think this is going to be your toughest fight?
I don't know. A lot of people ask me that every time I fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know until I get in the ring with them.
How do you prepare for this fight? Do you prepare the same way, or is there any different preparation for this one than any other fight that you've had?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just keep doing what I've been doing, and everything else will play itself out.
You got to make some adjustments, though. This is Errol Spence we talking about. This ain't no just...
This the guy that you had picked over.
I remember. I got Earl. Yeah. I do got Earl.
Yeah.
Not because you're not great. I just think, you know, styles make fights. I think Earl got it.
Definitely.
You feel pressure going into this fight?
Not at all. This is my moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is my time. This is what I've been waiting for. And the world gonna see July 29th.
I always talk about, you know, nowadays it feels like everybody wants to be undefeated, right? Does that put more pressure on you? Because I think Floyd kind of did it with his 50-0. But back then, you lose a fight, it was fine. All right, well, I'll see you in a rematch. And it was okay. It wasn't cool. But now it seems like when you lose a fight now, everybody's like, oh, it's washed. It's over.
I never felt any pressure. I put my O on the line numerous of times with whoever they put in front of me. I called out the best fighters in each division that I ever been in. Floyd have made it kind of hard for people to take a loss and keep going because so many people want to be like Floyd, and so many people was attracted to Floyd and follow Floyd's career, and they felt as if you wasn't like Floyd, then you wasn't that guy, you know. But people lose, people come back.
Mm-hmm.
Styles make fights, like he said.
Mm-hmm.
And things happen. I never thought that a loss can define a fighter in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because, I mean, Floyd's one of the best to ever do it, but why just look at Floyd? Why people don't look at Ali, you know, Lennox Lewis, all of these great fighters who have lost, Sugar Ray Leonard, like Tommy Hearns, they've all lost.
because times has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, social media have taken over. So when Tommy Hearns and Ali and all those great fighters that came before us, they didn't have to deal with the politics. They didn't have to deal with social media slandering them and mm-hmm. doing this and doing that to impress people. So right. it's kind of different.
You feel like you don't get the respect that you deserve when it comes to a lot of these fights? Like, even with, you know, Charlamagne saying he thinks Errol's going to beat you. Like, do you feel like you're the underdog in a lot of this?
It's just boxing. Like, it's just boxing at the end of the day.
Don't back down now.
I'm not. I got Errol.
You're going to lose. You definitely don't lose.
But do you feel like you don't get the respect that you deserve?
Always, always.
Why is that?
But how great I am. I look at all the great fighters that came before me. None of them got their respect until, A, they lost, or they retired. Mm. Nobody gave Floyd his respect until he retired. Then they realized how great he was. A lot of people didn't give Ali his respect. A lot of people didn't give Roy Jones his respect until they lost or they retired.
Why the loss part?
I don't know, because I guess when one has lost or taken defeat to another great fighter, they feel as if this fighter is not invincible. Mm. So they can feel as if he's on their level now. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we brought him down mm-hmm. to earth. Now we can laugh at him. Mm-hmm. Now we can praise him for all the good things that he done.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Earl said your record was inflated. What does that word inflated mean?
Well, listen, he can say all those type of things, but when you look at who I fought mm-hmm. and who he fought, and you look at what I done to him, you know, it's no comparison.
Did Yudis, I think I pronounced his name right, did he beat you in the amateurs? Your Guinness Yudis?
Ugas? Yeah, Yudis. Yeah, he beat me in the amateurs.
And then Earl stopped him in the 10th round when they fought. So Ugas said there's no way you can beat Earl if Earl fights you the way he fought him. So does it matter if he beat someone who defeated you?
Never. Listen, you talking about a fight that happened when I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I was a little kid. I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. You know, that same little boy is no way, shape, form, fashion, the same little boy. You know what I mean? The grown man that I am today. Mm-hmm. When I fought Ugas, I probably had like 40 fights. Ugas probably had hundreds. Mm. Coming from Cuba and, you know, they fight in all the international tournaments, national tournaments, all that. You know, so he had more experience at the time. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't base him beating me at 18 on a professional fight. Mm-hmm. We don't have no headgear on. We fighting with smaller gloves. We fighting longer rounds, longer minutes in the rounds. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things that goes into fighting an amateur fight and fighting a professional fight. So a lot of people say, oh, well, you lost to Ugas and this and that. Well, a lot of people lost to a lot of people in the amateurs, and look what happened in a professional mm-hmm. ranking. A lot of people can say, oh, well, Terrence, you lost to this guy, you lost to that guy. Okay, well, all the guys that I lost to in the amateurs, compare their career and professional to my career.
That's real. So what did you learn from those losses that you were able to take in your professional career that has kept you undefeated?
Well, a lot of things. I learned how to cope with certain styles. I learned how to capitalize on the things that I was doing wrong. So you just go back to the drawing board and fix the problem that you had that led you to get the loss. Mm-hmm. You got to learn from it. And I felt like I learned from all my losses. I got stronger. I got wiser. I got more experience. That led me to be the person that I am today in the professional ranking.
Did you watch the fight between Spence and Ugas?
Of course.
And what'd you think about it?
It was a good fight. Mm-hmm. Errol did good. Ugas did good. And it was a good fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, that fight was what, 2021?
I thought it was last year.
Was it?
Spence and Ugas. Maybe it was 21.
21. Now, he hasn't fought in over a year. So does that give you the advantage or disadvantage? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't even look at that like that. You know, he came off a longer layoff prior to that. Been in a car accident, and mm-hmm. he came back. And he looked strong. He looked good. So I'm not banking on him not being in the ring for him to come rusty or anything. He's a professional. Mm-hmm. He know how to fight. So come fight night, he'll be ready just like I will.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we got more with Terrence Crawford. His fight where Errol Spence goes down July 29th on Showtime. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne the Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with boxer Terrence Crawford. He's fighting Errol Spence July 29th on Showtime. Charlamagne?
Is it better to be an independent promoter or to be assigned to one of these companies?
Well, in my situation, it's better for me to be independent. Mm-hmm. I get to control my own destiny. I get to control my own faith. And the rest is uphill for me now.
I don't understand why the promoters don't want to make the best fights. Like, this is the fight we all want to see. This is the fight that's going to make the money. So what kept them from just making this fight?
Well, politics. You got two sides that's powerhouses. Mm-hmm. And neither side want to give in to the other side. Business-wise, it's better for me to do business in-house than outsource. Mm-hmm. And have to share. It's kind of like a greed thing.
And how draining is it doing all these interviews and press things when you got a fight coming up and you got to train? How draining is that? Because you got to fly and go here. And I even know Errol was supposed to come up here this morning, but you know his flight was delayed. How draining is that physically and mentally for you?
Well, it's part of the game. Long as I get to get up early, I got to get up earlier. Mm-hmm. Work out. Come here, do this, do my other interviews, and hit the road, get back to training. Mm-hmm. Training never stops. We just got to alter it a little bit.
Do you have a rematch clause in the contract?
Yeah.
Are you going to exercise it?
Who? No. Ain't no need. Ain't no need. He try to be slick.
He thought he had one. But now I feel like this is going to be one of those moments in time where y'all do fight more than once. I don't know if it's going to be a trilogy, but definitely at least twice. I think so.
Could be. Never know. Maybe something dramatic happened in the first fight where he don't want no rematch.
If that happens, let's say you win decisively, right? Let's say it happens. Would you retire?
I don't know. I don't think there's a need for me to retire right now when I want to fight Jermell Charlo.
Why would you say retire?
Because this is the fight. Like, you know, this is the fight. This is the fight that if whoever wins, this is probably going to end up being the number one pound for pound in the sport, I would think, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
It will be.
Will be, yeah.
It will be.
Like, you want Charlo, so I guess that makes sense.
Have you seen the fight over the weekend with Mayweather and Gotti? What was your thoughts on that fight?
I didn't actually see the whole fight, but I seen highlights of the fight and the incident. It was crazy.
You look at Mayweather and be like, damn, at his age, he still got it?
Oh, definitely.
He's still moving definitely. And sliding. And even when he was being attacked in that ring, he still kept his composure and still socked on me.
Man, that right hand made Gotti change the subject. He was looking for somebody to step in the middle. But it's cool though, man. It's all for entertainment. And I don't know what led that incident to happen. But you know it happened. And mm-hmm. It's over with now.
Do you seek advice from guys like Mayweather? Because you know he was an independent promoter. And you know, do you talk to him just about that and boxing and other things?
No, when me and Mayweather talk, it's more like how you doing, how the family, how everything going, mm-hmm. How you feeling. Good, stay focused. Stuff like that, you know. I look up to Mayweather. He's been one of my favorite fighters mm-hmm. since I can remember him and Roy Jones Jr. Yeah, like, I admire his work ethic and everything that he's done in the sport.
What boxer gives you the best advice?
What boxer give me the best advice?
Just in general, box.
Man, a lot of boxers. You know, I can say my coach. I can say my brothers, say my friends. I take a lot from, you know, a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Because you can learn something from everybody, mm-hmm. not just people that you think is on a higher platform or on a bigger stage than you. If I can seek advice from anybody, I'll take it.
I always wonder when fighters get in the ring, do they take past fights with them? Or do you just, whatever happened in the old fights, you just leave them there? Like, is every fight a new thing?
For me, yeah. Every fight is a new thing, and that's how I try to go in training camp with a clear head. My coaches, they train me to the best of my ability and make sure that if we had any mishaps or mess ups in a previous fight, that we capitalize on that and we fix the problem. That's pretty much how we go into camp.
Always wanted to know when a boxer picks a fight, right? You know, any good boxers, they're going to analyze your tape, analyze every fight that you do and watch you, you know, because we all have, you know, we're a habit, right? You have a habit of doing certain things. How much do you change to make sure that they don't study that habit?
Well, my thing is, I'm so versatile and elusive that I can capitalize on anything my opponent's ever done in the ring. And I think that's why I rate myself so high, higher than other fighters. Mm-hmm. Because you can fix one problem, but the more the fight goes, I'm experienced enough to recognize another problem. I think that's why I rate myself high as I do.
Who is your toughest opponent, the opponent that you've had so far?
That dude from Lithuania. I can't pronounce his name.
Kavalaskis.
Whatever. The one they say might have knocked you down. I don't know if he was a flip.
Igas.
Yeah.
I would say the hardest fight in my career, it would have to be between Igas and Gamboa.
Wow. Mm.
Gamboa's feet was just so fast. Mm. And he was so small to where he was darting in and darting out, and he was hitting me and making me miss just by an inch. It was kind of like I had to make certain adjustments, and he was making adjustments, and I was making adjustments, and it was just like, it was a chess match, but it was a fast chess match, and he was getting the better of me because he was more experienced, but at the same time, he was more explosive. So I just had to, you know, figure out the puzzle a little longer.
What stops you from being frustrated in that ring? Because most people, you know, watching that fight would have probably been frustrated and probably would have, you know, left the hand down, left the chin available. So what makes you not get frustrated and calm down and relax you? Because you see it all the time when you look at boxers in the ring, they're not listening to the coach. You could tell that their mind is on something else.
Yeah, your demeanor never changes.
It never changes at all.
Just like right now in this interview. It don't change. It don't change.
Nah, it's just, you know, I think, like I said, the experience. I've seen it all. I've been in the ring with it all. I know what to do, and I know what I have to do. So when I get in those tough moments and those tough times and those tough rounds, I know, keep doing what you're doing. It all playing out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to stay true to yourself. Fight your fight. If one thing ain't working, you got to resort to something else. Try something else. You can't just stick to the same thing. If it ain't working, then try something else.
Right.
You got 12 rounds to do it. If you don't, then you'll be banging your head on the table like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I try this? You already getting hit. Might as well try to do something different.
But if you have a whole game plan that you worked on through training camp, do you just abandon that?
You can't just have one game plan.
Right.
You gotta have multiple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened if that one game plan don't work?
Mm-hmm.
Then what you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
You gonna be stuck in that one mode trying to do the same thing that ain't been working for the last 10 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be desperate, banking on a knockout, swinging for the fences, and that's how people get hurt.
All right, when we come back, we got more with Terrence Crawford, his fight where Errol Spence goes down July 29th on Showtime, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with boxer Terrence Crawford. He's fighting Errol Spence July 29th on Showtime. Charlamagne?
When you say you fix your problems, what problems did you fix after the Gamboa fight?
I don't know.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
I ain't giving you too much.
What about dude from Lithuania? Do you feel like that was a knockdown?
No, I don't. I feel as if he pushed me. As you can see, you know, as soon as the ref said fight, I stepped right to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he very strong. Very strong, explosive, good fighter, technical. You know, that's a fight that you could say I wasn't listening to my coaches, mm-hmm. and my corner, and I was more emotional in that fight because I felt as if I had something to prove. I went in there looking for the knockout. I didn't want to box. I didn't want to use my skills. I just wanted to, you know, fight. That's what happens when you go in there and fight the wrong fight.
What's going to stop you from doing that this time?
You can't do that again.
Because I know you want to prove yourself. I know you want to knock Errol out.
You can't. He's big. He's naturally bigger than you. He's strong.
He's the big guy. He's the big bad wolf. I didn't hurt at all. He's strong. He's this. He's that. He's this. He's that. So can he get hurt?
Yeah, he's a man. He's a human.
Okay.
Man.
So what's going to stop him from banging with me?
I'm not a coach or in your corner, but I wouldn't ask. I wouldn't suggest you bang with him.
Why?
I think
he's trying to say he's not as powerful. What are you trying to say?
Right, what you trying to say?
What are you trying to say, Sean? You trying to say he's not as powerful?
He's as strong as Errol.
What?
How you know?
Say it clearly.
Let's be clear. Terrence Crawford is amazing.
We know that.
What he does.
What you saying?
What I'm saying is, why do you view that, and how do you know?
I don't
know. What makes you think that?
Probably the size. I don't know if you can hurt him, is what I'm saying. Okay. I've seen you hurt people before. I don't know if you can hurt somebody his size.
Did he get hurt his last fight?
Yes.
Do you think I hit harder than his last opponent?
Yes.
Okay, case closed.
Yeah. But you got to get to him, though.
So you saying this man can't get to him? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying you got to get to him. You got to get in there to do it.
Okay. Well, the getting in there is the get between the ropes, right? Mm-hmm. And we in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great fight.
So when you speak to people like that, right, what stops you from saying you're not getting emotion, be like, you know what, trying something? Because obviously there's a lot of people like Charlamagne that feels
it's
like...
Let's not act like he's an underdog in this fight.
He is kind of an underdog. Not the way really. You're talking.
No. I think it's about... I think people think it could go either way. This my man Red is a great boxing guy. He says you win... No problem. My barber says you win, no problem. These are the debates I've been having since the fight's been announced. Mm-hmm.
But Charlamagne don't feel that way.
What is it with so what?
Listen, that's his opinion.
Yeah.
You know, when people have an opinion, it's like an asshole. Everybody got one.
That is true.
That is absolutely true. That is true. Have you thought about how you would deal with a loss in case it does happen?
No. I don't think about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mind is just clear right now. Things happen, they happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we preparing for the victory. That's it. Ain't no, you gonna lose? Nah, we don't think.
What's wrong with you? How you gonna ask, have you prepared for a loss if you lose? What kind of...
That's the same question that you kind of ask with having the zero record. Like, you know, some people lose, some people don't. So if you do lose, have you thought about how you prepare for that?
Nah, we don't prepare for that.
Now, for a young boxer out there or somebody that doesn't know, what is your daily routine in training? What does that deal with? Because most people just see the finished product, right? They see y'all boxing and don't know how much training it actually takes. So what is a day-by-day with Terrence Crawford look like?
Work. work.
What time do you get up usually?
It depends. Sometimes we get up at 5. Sometimes we get up at 6.
You run, you ride bikes, you go straight to the gym, you box.
Yeah, we do it all. It depends on the day, depends on how my body feeling, depends on the weather, depends on a lot of things that I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
So long as we getting the work done, that's all that matters.
Now, another question most people ask is when it comes to having sex before the fight.
Oh my God.
How long do you abstain from having sex?
Everybody keep asking.
Because it's people always want to know that.
Man.
And it ain't no women asking you that. You ever think that's crazy, right?
Right.
Exactly.
But don't turn this on me.
Damn.
Hey, listen, man. I don't know about other people, but it relaxes me. That's something that I've been doing my whole career.
So you ain't abstaining. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Me personally, I know it's a myth, you know, but I wouldn't tell anybody else to go out there and try to be like Terrence Crawford because they heard Terrence Crawford say, oh, man, you can have sex and it don't do nothing to you. I'm just saying, for me, it never affected me.
Regardless of how this fight goes, would you ever give somebody like Boots a shot in the ring, a young boy like Deron?
Listen, I'm open for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I never turned down a fight in my whole career. Never ducked, dodged, walked away, and ran from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that the media have put and said, Terrence, you need to fight him, or Terrence, he's chasing you, I fought him. If you can go back to when I fought Derry Jean when he was talking crazy mm-hmm. to me, and Hank Lundy when everybody was saying, oh, you need to fight Hank, you need to do this, you need to do that. I didn't fight them all.
What would be the benefit of an OG like you giving somebody like a Boots a shot?
Just to satisfy the fans.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Because he's an up-and-comer. He doesn't have anything to offer. Nothing at all. But it would just be something for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just an exciting fight.
Would you ever fight Ugas again in the pros just to do it?
For what? What would I be getting out of that? Right now, at this stage of my career, I'm looking for things that benefit. When I fought Ugas, he was undefeated. He was top contender, Olympian. He had all the accolades. After I beat him, everybody was slandering him. Oh, he green machine. He this, he that. He fight a guy that nobody knows. Just because you didn't know him, that don't mean that he wasn't a good fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't know him, that doesn't mean that, you know, he deserved to be where he was because he was my mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when I just fought Avanesian. He was ranked number 6 in the division, but everybody was mad that I took that fight because things wasn't right with the Errol Spence and my negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
So people was mad. Can't get mad. Things didn't happen for a reason. But now we here. Everybody got the fight that they wanted. And July 29th, we gonna go out there and put on a show.
Word. And Earl, last fight, I think it was against you. He did get hurt a little bit, but he still stopped him in the 10th round. So you could still hurt him and still get stopped. I'm just saying. I can't wait to see it, though.
You going to be there?
No, I'm not going to be there.
Come on, man. You did all that talking years ago, and you ain't going to be there?
Nope, I'm going to be watching it from home. I know how y'all guys from Omaha get down.
How we get down? All
right. I want to watch the fight in peace.
But we appreciate you for joining us. When's the last time you hit a civilian?
Hey, shut up,
you
man.
You want to hit one right now?
Nah, we don't do that.
Why are you doing that, man?
Just making sure.
I have all respect for Terrence Crawford. We just talking boxing. It's just like picking a sporting event. It is. I'm picking a winner. That's
you
all.
Said you know, not sure if he can bang, how hard he can hit. I just wanted to prove it to you.
I said again. It's probably 10 other people you can name I'll pick Bud over, but Spence is a different type of animal. That's all I'm saying. Do you rise to the level of your competition?
Do I?
Yeah.
Have you watched my career?
Absolutely.
That's your answer.
Okay.
One time, just a little jab. Just
man,
little...
shut up, man.
All right. It's Terrence Crawford, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to tune in and get your pay-per-view July 29th. And we appreciate you for joining us.
One last question. You think about stuff like pay-per-view numbers? You can't...
I can't. That's out of my control.
Yeah.
You know, you got the people that have the websites to steal the fights, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and stuff that you can't control. You just go in there and focus on things that you can control.
Because I feel like that's become a thing now. Like, that's become a stat that people brag about now, fighters. Yeah. I'm like, who cares?
Well,
I mean, for your money, your pockets, of course. Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, the bigger the numbers, the bigger, you know, you become.
Or,
that's why Floyd was Money Mayweather, because of the numbers that he was producing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everybody wanted to fight him. That's why every time he stepped foot in the ring, he demanded what he demanded, because he knew what he was going to draw.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, there you have it. It's Terrence Crawford. Good luck on your fight July 29th. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Samuel L. Jackson.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I am gossiping.
This is The Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on The Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes.
Right.
On The Breakfast Club.
Now, shout out to our brother Sway. Now, Samuel L. Jackson was doing an interview on Sway and talks about the time his wife checked Tupac.
I remember the one specific story. My wife was on that film. Mm-hmm. She was the chubby kid's mom. And I guess Pop was walking through a room one day, and he was cussing somebody up. My wife, like, grabbed him and was like, "Young man, you see all these women sitting in here? You can't be in here cursing, blah, blah, blah." And everybody in the room was like, and he looked at her and was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, man." Everybody in the room was like, "Do you know who that was?" She was like, "No, I have no idea who he was, but he shouldn't have been cursing in front of all these women in this room, blah, blah, blah." And from that point on, every time he saw her, he was like, "Hey, mom, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah." You know, as much as everybody puts Pac in that whole, you know, rapping world, he did go to a performing art school. He understood, you know, the business of acting and what was going on.
All right. That was Samuel L. Jackson talking about the time his wife checked Tupac Shakur. Yeah. That was on the set of Juice.
Yeah, no OG black woman. No, they don't give a damn who you are.
Not at all.
They don't give a damn who you are, what you do, how much money you got. If you ain't moving accordingly, you going to get snatched up.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Bottom line, point blank,
but that's
period.
How it should be, right? That's
community,
how
it should
right?
be. We need more of that. We definitely need more of that in the community. Mm-hmm. All right, I don't know what we got to do for... I guess that's the way people learn.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it takes a village.
Well, that's
100%.
I mean, that's how a lot of us were raised. It didn't Absolutely. Matter if you did something wrong on the block or wherever
Absolutely.
You were. Somebody screamed at you and then
up.
Told your mama.
Salute. You know what? Drop one of Clues Bomb for Miss Brevard. Miss Nicole Brevard. I love Miss Brevard.
What did she do?
She used to snatch me up all the time.
She should have snatched up a little more.
Shut up. She actually sent me a message yesterday, and it was a it was a meme that said, what did it say? It said, "Oh, shout out to everyone who had report cards growing up that read, 'Talks too much,'" and she put, "Sounds familiar." Said, "Love you, Miss Brevard."
All right. Now, we got to talk Pat Sajak. He announced on Monday that he plans on retiring. He was the host of the longest-running game show at the end of the 41st season. He's still going to stay on as a consultant, but it seems like Whoopi Goldberg reveals that she wants the job.
Man, Whoopi's sick of y'all at The View, huh?
legendary game show host Pat Sajak just announced that he's going to be hiring from Wheel of Fortune at the end of the next season. What's your reaction to the news and any ideas on who should replace him?
Well, Pat's a legend. I mean, over 40 years, and the price of a vowel has not gone up one penny. Like, like nobody controlled inflation like Pat Sajak. Hopefully, Wheel's got an envelope somewhere that says what to do when Pat packs
Whoopi
it in.
Whoopi wants the job.
I want that job.
Well, now we figured it out.
Whoopi's sick of y'all. Whoopi's sick of every time she got something to say, y'all jump down her throat every few months. She's tired of it. She's tired of it. She just wants something nice and easy like Wheel of Fortune.
My rumor has it that they're talking to Ryan Seacrest for being one of the being a host of Wheel of Fortune.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could just do an AI Pat Sajak. I mean, if they did an AI Pat Sajak like on Cedar's World, remember Cedar's World back in the day on BT? I'm sure the technology is much better now. You wouldn't really know the difference.
No, you can't.
They could actually do that with Alex Trebek on Jeopardy too now. If they wanted to.
No.
Because they're so cool. Like, they kind of just blend in with everything that's going on those shows.
No, you want a real host.
All right.
I would love if Whoopi did it.
Me too, because I want her to get off the view. Because I'm tired of y'all jumping down OG Whoopi throat every time she got an opinion.
Yeah. Well, Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan, you know that's Michael Jordan's son, they have a new podcast. It's called Separation Anxiety. And they talk about a lot on their first episode. They talk about when they first met, them trying to hide themselves from paparazzi as they were dating.
I feel like we were like hiding out and like trying to be low key. And then
we didn't trust anyone. Everywhere we went, scared of
their phones.
We're like,
ducking from flashes in the club and all this stuff. You were at a position earlier when we first met that you didn't want to take on all the smoke.
You know, I was kind of skeptical because I kind of felt like, why would you do this, Larsa? Why would you do this? Why would you date someone that, you know, just the families? It's just a really crazy situation to be in.
Yeah.
They also talk about how when she first met him, she didn't save his name under his name. She saved it under a fake name.
Well, she put heir to the throne.
Mark Jacobs.
So who made the first move?
You did.
I beg to disagree.
What?
I think, you know, again, I was looking at her across the room, but we were looking at each other for
sure. But is that the first move, looking at each other?
Nah, you know, I don't think that's the first move, but I'd say I made the first move.
You know, it's funny. I feel like a lot of people don't know that I could never really put you under your name on my phone.
Yeah, that's. I didn't find that out until we started dating either.
So I had you under Mark Jacob.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I had you under Mark Jacob, but like, that's what I had you on my phone because I didn't want anyone to know when you would call me. I just wanted it to be very like.
Well, I feel like when we first started dating, it was random. Like, when we would talk, it'd be like, I was going on a trip or I'm coming to Miami or
somehow
we were
going
to bump into each other. So, you know, that's kind of funny that I was stored under Mark Jacob.
Why do we care? What happened now?
People care about it. Of course, that's Larsa Pippen.
Are they not married, though, right?
No, they're dating.
You can't have a whole podcast and y'all just dating. Well, you got to be married to have a relationship podcast.
Well, you know, Larsa Pippen, of course, is Scottie Pippen's ex. She's 48, and Michael Jordan's son, Marcus, is 32. And they also talk about meeting the kids. Marcus meeting the kids.
I don't care. What is the podcast about, though?
Relationship stuff.
They are not married. They are dating. I don't think that you should start a podcast if you're just dating. They haven't even been dating long enough to start a podcast. I'm going to tune in every week to listen to two people who just been dating for a little while in regards to relationship advice.
You're listening now? Go ahead.
Because you keep playing it.
About my kids.
Okay.
Because I do feel like I don't normally bring guys around my kids. I'm really selective on who I invite into my home, who I have around my kids. But I feel like it was very natural and normal when you came around because they already knew you. They love you.
I think it's been great.
I feel like my kids already knew you. Like when I would FaceTime with you or call you and I'd be like, oh, like, I, you know, just conversations we would have. So I think when they finally did get to meet you, it was not like, oh my God, who's this guy? It was almost like, hey, Marcus, what's up?
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of common ground, which makes it easier for us all to, you know, be around each other.
So you're not gonna listen to the podcast?
I don't have a reason to, but I will say, is that like a specialty podcast? Is it something they're just doing for each other just to describe their relationship and their situation, or is this something long term where they're gonna be helping other couples? Because if that's the case, then they need to make a commitment to themselves. I would think before I make a commitment to that podcast, I would want them to make a commitment to themselves.
Well, maybe they're just talking about their relationship and how they're doing. Like when they start getting it made, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about when he met their kids. I don't know. This is a podcast. People have been talking about it. They want to know more about Larsa Pippen and Michael Jordan's son's life. So people are tuning in.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Oh.
Congratulations!
Yo, what's wrong with you? Oh, you did that right, yo. You did that pretty good. Drop a bomb for Charlamagne. He practiced that.
Oh, I do that all the time randomly for no reason.
He practiced that.
I do not know. I be walking around the house randomly. Congratulations!
Dumb rights. Who are you giving your donkey to, man?
Oh, man, for after the hour, we need YK Osiris to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, please.
All right, we'll get to that next. Don't move.
Very
it's the
teachable
Club.
Moment.
Good morning.
I was donkey up the team. Made it.
Damn, the hee-haw again.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
I ain't trying to be Donkey of the Day no more.
They should be embarrassed by what they already did. I'm not making these people do these things.
Called Donkey of the Day, and it really caught me off guard.
Damn, Charlamagne, who got the Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, June 15th goes to YK Osiris. Now, if you don't know who YK Osiris is, he's a singer-songwriter from Jacksonville, Florida. And for the last 24 hours, he has been Black Twitter's most wanted because he was seen on video trying to give another artist by the name of Sukiyana a kiss without her consent. The term they are using in various articles online are forcibly kissing. That's the headline I've seen. YK Osiris accused of sexual assault after forcefully kissing Sukiyana at an event. Now, there's some of y'all listening to me who don't know who the hell either one of these people are, and that's fine. Just know YK Osiris is a young man, Sukiyana is a young woman. Now, there has been all types of reasoning going around. You know, stories like this get computers puting. All right, most common sentiments I saw were folks saying this was sexual assault, and I saw a lot of people saying, hey, she walks around calling herself Suki with the good coochie, and she has a song about eating a man's groceries, so this is the energy she puts out, so this is the energy she should expect to receive. That second sentiment reminds me of when rappers who rap about various nefarious activities, whether it's murder, drug selling, whatever crime they choose to put to a beat, when they get jammed up and catch a RICO, or if they get shot and killed or beat up, first thing folks say is, hey, he bought it on himself, okay, because of the music he makes. Hell, if you're a rapper who raps about constant drug use and then you die of an overdose, people say, well, that's what he rapped about. So folks are consistent when it comes to blaming people's misfortunes on their music, and we should have a discussion about that, but not really today. Well, maybe later. We need to all be asking ourselves, how come we know better but don't do better? That's the question I have for the young brother YK Osiris. How come you don't know any better? All right. Sometimes I be naive because I gave him the benefit of the doubt yesterday because I thought to myself, for him to be moving like that, they must have a relationship, because there's no possible way in 2023 with all we have learned about boundaries and what's consent and what's not consent and the whole Me Too movement, I would think in 2023, no man would still be moving like that. But here we are. YK Osiris, do you realize what you did is exactly why Kane pistol whipped Chauncey and menaced to society? You remember that, Envy?
Mm-hmm.
Major plot line to the movie. And it was when Chauncey was making sexual advances toward Ronnie, and Ronnie clearly wasn't with it, so Kane pistol whipped him. All right, the reason I'm putting that out there is because whether we realize it or not, scenes like that taught us what not to do. And if we did do those things, those were the kinds of consequences and repercussions that could happen. Now, even though we had those teachable moments, I'll be the first to tell you that we was raised wrong. Okay, I mean, everything about our culture has been hypersexualized. I don't even have to get into what I mean when I said we was raised wrong, because if you was born in the 1900s, you know what the hell I'm talking about. There is a reason. Okay, your mommy and your grandma is sweating about this Freaknik documentary. All right, but at what point do those of us that know better teach better? Okay, if you know better and you've done better, it's your obligation to teach better. So I am sitting here literally wondering, did someone fail YK Osiris, or is he just a D-head who knows better but has lapses of judgment like this? I read his apology, and he said, I want to publicly offer my sincerest apology to Sukiyana in an attempt to be playful. I misread the moment and violated Sukiyana's boundaries. He also said, I understand the importance of consent, and I am embarrassed by my behavior. Clearly, that apology shows he knew better, but for whatever reason, he didn't do better in that moment, and that's what we have to prevent, because we got to protect women, right? But we also have to protect men, right? We got to protect Black women, but we also have to protect Black men, because Black men, what if Sukiyana decides to press charges against you for sexual assault? Who's to tell us she can't do that? Now your dumb ass got to charge him for what? Because you misread the moment? No, Black man, we got to do better. And I wonder about that misread the moment line. It seems to me a lot of y'all are misreading the moment when it comes to Miss Sukiyana, and y'all blaming it on her music. Let's unpack that, okay? If a woman is walking around calling herself Suki with the good coochie, I understand why you would be curious about that good coochie. That makes sense. Doesn't give you the right to make unwanted sexual advances to her and violate her boundaries, but I understand the curiosity. But another main reason I'm giving YK Osiris donkey is because all of y'all talking about Sukiyana's music is the reason
you know, she receives this type of behavior because of the music she makes, she should expect it. I've only heard one Sukiyana song, right? And that song is called Casamigos, right, Envy?
Correct.
Let me get this right, my brothers. Sukiyana has a song where she's talking about eating a man's groceries. I'm not kink-shaming at all. I had my groceries eaten. I'm just wondering why, K. Osiris, why was you so ready to put your tongue in her mouth knowing where her tongue has been? All of y'all out here talking about Sukiyana's music is why men do this to her. So y'all in a rush to either get your boonkies brunched on, or in the case of YK Osiris, in a rush to taste another man's ass.
That's a lot of butts.
Where is Jesus? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? We need him so bad right now. Okay, we need a group therapy session for all of us, because I'm just sick of us hurting each other. I don't want to see Sukiyana or any other woman hurt, and I don't want to see YK Osiris hurt either. Yes, he should be held accountable. If there is consequences to his actions, he earned them. But what do we have to do as a society? What do we have to teach as a culture? What do we have to learn to make sure things like this don't happen ever again? Because I would think brothers would know better by now, wouldn't they? Please give YK Osiris the biggest hee-haw. I'm just saying, y'all keep blaming Sukiyana's music. You know, y'all keep saying, you know, this is what she puts out.
Okay.
I'd like, I only know that one song. What are you saying, my brothers?
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You want your hat? You want your boonkie eating?
Huh? What?
You want to taste boonkie on the tongue? I'm just trying to figure it out.
All right.
I don't get it.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
This question, what was his name?
Who's name?
You said you like getting your butt. Yeah.
Man, shut up. I done told you cut that out now.
That's what you said.
I ain't say nothing about. Never mind. It was, his name was Rashawn Casey, since y'all must know. Since y'all must know, you want to do a rumor report? His name was Rashawn Casey. That's why we've been so close the last 13 years. All right? He was eating this ass. He was eating this ass. Okay?
You go
all right?
too far.
Oh, see, yes, I do. I'll burn the whole car down.
I see you.
All right? Yeah.
I don't want to
yeah,
play.
Yeah, that's our song,
I'm
right, Envy?
I'm taking my toys.
That's our song.
The toy box. I'm going
okay,
home.
That's what we're
going
to dance to it all wedding.
I'm not
that's
playing
gonna
anymore.
That's going to be our first song.
I'm leaving the all playground.
Right? Okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Shout to BET.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play with you no more.
Mm-hmm.
BET, peace.
That's right.
What's wrong with you, man?
Nothing wrong with me. I am perfectly fine. Like my Palo Santo right now. I'm going to show you how fine I am.
All right. When we come back, the cast of The Blackening will be joining us. Of course, it's a new film. It's a horror slash comedy. Really funny. And we'll talk to the cast, which is Yvonne Orji, Cinqua Walls, Jay Farrell, Grace Myers, Antoinette Robertson, and Dwayne Perkins. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Be the same.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club, and we got some special guests joining us. I think this is the most guests we've ever had.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen an actual cast.
Yes,
when they say the cast is like one person, two people.
The cast.
It's the whole cast.
The cast of Blackening is in the building. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How y'all feeling?
Good.
You got to name names individually, man.
Okay. Well, let's start off. Yvonne Orji.
What's good?
We're going to take attendance.
Jay Farrell, Grace Byers, Antoinette Robinson, and Dwayne Perkins.
Hey, what up? Yeah.
All right.
Talk to us about The Blackening, man. What is The Blackening?
Dwayne.
It is a movie about a group of friends that go to a cabin for a Juneteenth celebration, and they find themselves stalked by a psycho killer, and then they have to, you know, not die.
The black person always dies in the beginning. Who died in the beginning?
Oh, man.
No, we can't.
I'm just joking. Now, is this the type of movie that you guys would actually be a part of? Like, go to a cabin in a white area and feel like that at all?
That's so absolutely problematic. Not. Like, already going to a cabin in a white area without backup is already problematic. That's a horror film in real life.
I love that the movie called it out, though, because it's just like, why are we here? And who did this? Like, who? Because that's how most scary movies start. It's like, okay, we just stumble upon this cabin in the lab. And it's like somebody calls him out and is like, yo, why? Whose idea was this?
Like, a cabin in the woods,
but,
really?
But the twist of the movie is that the killer is like whoever is the blackest, you know, is going to get knocked off.
So for people that don't know, you guys have to play a game.
Yeah.
Now, what is this game about?
The game is called The Blackening, and it is a game that's forcing these friends to determine who's the blackest to see who dies first.
Because,
you know, that's the trope.
Black trivia, black culture.
Black trauma trivia.
Okay, Antoinette, what does thought mean?
What is what?
Thought.
That
Yvonne, if Young Metro don't trust, what might Future do? If Young Metro don't trust you.
If Young Metro don't trust you.
Shoot you. What years did Cash Money Records tell us they were taking over?
Cash Money.
99.
Okay, all right.
99.
You're dead.
I'm from the Caribbean.
I will fail you.
According to your mama, she said she'll give you what if you start crying?
Something
to cry about.
There you go.
Love.
Now, this is a tough one.
that's so parenting. That's not my mama.
This is a tough one. How many fights did the Fresh Prince get into before his mom got scared?
One little fight.
One little fight.
Mom got
scared. One tiny one. You know, the person who jumps in first is the person like, I gotta get this answer right.
I've watched Fresh Prince so many times and I'm like, I've listened. I know the original song.
What's the original song?
The original song where he goes beyond, like,
the full song.
I know it. I didn't say I remembered it.
You already alive.
Now, you wanted the writers of the movie, right?
Yes.
So what made you want to put this movie out June 18th and having it be about the June 18th celebration?
It comes out
Juneteenth,
16.
I should say. Juneteenth. Yeah. It comes out the 16th.
Yeah.
Juneteenth celebration, I should say.
From the sketch to the feature, we just really wanted to put it in a space that was like about blackness and freedom, and they're trying not to die and they're fighting for the freedom, and what better time to do it than on Juneteenth? we were just trying to pack it with as much things from the culture as possible, and hopefully it becomes like a Juneteenth movie.
It's interesting that it's through the lens of comedy and horror, because I feel like that is the black experience in America.
I can't go through a trauma without cracking a joke. Like, that's just what it's gonna be. Levity is the, I think, antithesis to fear.
And also, that's the only way black people can really see a horror film. They're like, you know, black people, I've told people, they're like, I don't know that I'm going to see it. I was like, but it's a comedy as well. Okay, I can laugh at it. I'm like, it's a satire, guys.
Yeah,
it's like, because they're like, so we just going to be dying? And is it like traumatic? I'm like, that's not 12 years. It's like, it is.
Yeah. One thing this movie isn't, it's not black trauma porn. No. Like, the world is used to ingesting that. Like, it's fun. It's an interactive experience. We celebrate black culture. Of course, there are instances where we're supposed to quantify our blackness, which we know is ludicrous, but we bring the conversations up. Like, okay, well, I can't say that you're not as black because you're lighter skinned or whatever the case may be.
Continue on, man.
Or case in point, like, Gracie and I are both Caribbean, so it's like we have the conversations that we have behind closed doors and in the group chat, but out loud with everybody in the world, and it's a pretty great experience.
But you guys also talk about things that we all deal with, like, you know, being in the store and somebody following us around, or the park ranger, you know, stopping somebody because you're not supposed to be in this neighborhood. So I know writing that was part of a little freeing too, like, this is the ish that happens all the time.
Yeah, like, it was actually wild. Me and Tracy talk about it pretty often, how we were surprised that they allowed us to keep it as black as it was, because we were just like, we just gonna write what we want, what makes us laugh. And then by the final version, we said, damn, they really kept a lot of niggas in here.
Dwayne, speak to that though, because, like, you know, they don't, as much as they scream diversity and inclusion, it's just like, you know, they don't want things to be too black.
Yeah, I would say that is one of the privileges of doing it as an indie first, is that there was less cooks in the kitchen to tell us how to display blackness. And the people that were, who were white, they just gave us the freedom because they knew they didn't know what they were talking about. They were
like, so you weren't nervous at all, because, I mean, there's a lot of in it, but that's how we speak, right? Yeah. They're like, it's Juneteenth, you know what I mean? But it was never a fear, like, maybe we need to take some of those. So they just let y'all do you.
Yeah, no, I don't really move with that fear. My whole life has been consuming media that was not made for me, so I don't feel inclined to put my point of view through a funnel for people that are not of me. If you don't know, then figure it out, to be honest.
What pisses y'all off more, white executives that don't know what they talk about, or black executives that don't know what they talk about? Like, culturally clueless black executives.
They're culturally clueless. I think they're just part of a regime that doesn't give them the space to be as black as they may want to be, mm-hmm. because in order to keep their jobs, they have to conform. And
fall
I think
in line a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not an executive. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see it by the conversation that you have behind. Like, we all kind of permeate in the same world, right? So we you have these conversations behind closed doors, and you can instantly tell that someone is a little bit more contrived. They might lean in, but then they kind of look mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
it's that, man, I'm really rocking with y'all. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more of that, and you can instantly tell like who's who in that space. Mm-hmm.
All right, when we come back, we got the cast of Blackening, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Damn. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with the cast of Blackening, Charlamagne.
Why do you think it's been such a lack of black horror comedy movies? Because I feel like with the success of like Scary Movie with Marlon, mm-hmm. like I feel like there would have been a lot more.
To be honest, I just think that the people allowed to make the movies have just changed. There's just not a lot of people pushing for that. And if it is, it's in a lens that is digestible for white people. Mm-hmm. So you're not necessarily given the space to create horror comedies. And then I do think like Get Out was like a big moment. Mm-hmm. And this industry runs on that people have already seen.
Yeah.
And so they're like, that is what works. That is what we want. And that was not comedic. That's very far from Scary Movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that the Blackening kind of like creates another point in the like lexicon of horror comedy so that executives in the industry can see like what black people can do that's not just within Scary Movie or Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just think is an unoriginal.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That sounds like a white executive.
Now, for each one of y'all, what made y'all want to do this movie when y'all seen the script? What was like, oh, this is for me?
Well,
because this is pandemic too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, for me, it was it's innovative, man. It's never been done before. You've never seen so many black people represented this way. Like, we could say it, we're not monoliths, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's time for people to have fun again, especially with the arduousness of the last few years mm-hmm. we've been going through. So mm-hmm. It just seemed fun. It was like a slam dunk. Mm. And I've worked with Tim before, you know what I mean? I know how he works, and I was excited to work with this beautiful cast of folks. So to me, it was just different, and it just made sense. It's innovative.
I want to hear that from everybody.
A little play off of that as well, too, and what you were saying as well. Like, we've never really seen that before. We've never really seen the horror comedy mm-hmm. aspect, especially with an all-black cast. Mm-hmm. And I think also, too, like, this is my friend group. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And so to see yourself in that space. And then
I think also, too, it is our strength as black people that we span the spectrum of the diaspora, mm-hmm. right? And absolutely. So when you can see that reflected in a film, I think that representation goes a long, long way. Tim's story is a big deal. This cast was a big deal. The script was amazing. Super funny, super smart. And so for me, it was a like an easy, easy yes.
What about you, Yvonne? What attracted you to it?
I had watched the sketch. And what's mm-hmm. funny is before, like literally the week before, I don't know if you know this, the week before I got the call for the movie, I had watched the sketch all over again because I was looking for the director to possibly direct my special. And so I had been like in the world of this. I was like, yo, this is real funny. Someone should do something with this. Cut to. I got the script. I was like, yo, this is for real happening. And so for me, one, it was hysterical. And then two, I appreciated the kind of breaking down the silly conversations of like what blackness really is, because mm-hmm. it was that thing of like, even when President Obama came into office, like, he's not black enough. It's like, well, mm-hmm. who has the patent on blackness? Like, mm-hmm. I need to find this person who can define what mm-hmm. blackness is, because, and we've even had this conversation on the show. It's like, as a Nigerian American, it's mm-hmm. like, well, you don't know about the black experience. I was like, I know about a black experience. I don't know about every black, you know what I mean? So I love putting myself in conversations whereby we can like look at these tropes or whatever, these conversations, and hit them on the head. And then I got to play, be funny, and then, you know, scream.
I mean, I've said it so many times. I think for me, it always starts with story. It starts with who's involved. I think like it was funny, it was intelligent, and it was on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, opportunity to work with Tim Story. To me, he's one of the greatest filmmakers that we have. I grew up loving him. I grew up loving him as a filmmaker. So I was like, okay, yes, I want to work with Tim Story. And I follow filmmakers. And I was like, yes. I read the script several times. I became more familiar with Dwayne. And I remember I had questions about the script that I was like, well, who wrote this? Like, why did they say this instead? They're like, well, actually, Dwayne wrote that. I was like, oh, okay. Like, he's informed, yeah. right? And then I was like, so who's playing Dwayne? Because we had to play off each other. They're like, Dwayne's playing Dwayne. And I was like, oh, okay. I
was like, that's why okay, I named him Dwayne. Like,
okay, cool. And I just felt like it had the opportunity to be executed well. Mm-hmm. I always read things and I say, what are the legs? So for me, I'm grateful that we're sitting in this position now of coming out and distribution, and Lionsgate is a part of it. Yeah. But I would be lying if I didn't think that we were going to be here. Mm. Because I think when I read something and it haunts me, and I go, ooh, I come back to it. And even if I'm like on the fence of a yes or a no, and I go, it's still on my mind. Mm-hmm. It's something that I have to run towards. Mm-hmm. And this script did that for me, especially coming out of pandemic. I had done Resort to Love. We did Resort to Love together. And it was like a totally different comedic thing, right? Mm-hmm. But we had a lot of color in it. And this was just like even more infused and intelligent and smart. So for me, I was like, okay, this is something I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
So it's something I want to do. And then I already knew who the cast was. And to play with them, I was like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. Mm. For me, I was obsessed with the script. It was just so well written, but like, it's very rare that I read something that I see so many different hues of blackness. There's so many different black women in this. Mm-hmm. You see them, we're all from different like backgrounds. We speak differently, we have different interests, but we're a friend group. The same thing with the men. Like, I love that Dwayne's character isn't just like the gay sidekick. Mm-hmm. Like, none of us were just limited to being the best friend or the sidekick. Mm-hmm. Like, we were fully fleshed out characters and we're showing blackness in its full form, as opposed to seeing it diluted, which is what we usually see through the lens of whiteness. And so I was like, this is so smart, it's so funny. And although I'm terrified of horror movies, mm-hmm. I felt like if I didn't do it, I would regret it. So yeah.
No, you wrote the whole script?
Yeah, me and Tracy. And what I liked about it is that I, as like a queer black man, as an actor, just I've never been afforded the opportunity to like be a lead in something, because mm-hmm. things are very backwards.
And so, he's like, y'all gonna hear this. Things are very
and so in order to like kind of break out of the box that I feel like Hollywood tries to put black queer men in, I had to write a whole movie. And I hope that like people see that. I've been like, yeah, do you see the lengths that I have to go to? Like, for me to feel represented, I have to be that for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool, but also, like, stop that.
Yeah.
That's what we want, though, right? We just wish that they would green light more of that stuff.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And also, I have to say, the movie is really good. Like, if we've been getting the feedback from like people who've gone to the screening, it is the kind of movie you want to see at a black theater. Matter of fact, make the theater black, because you're yelling at the screen.
The theater black.
Because like, you know, there's some, like when I watched Creed, I was like, nah, we gotta go to Crenshaw. Like, I wanna see this in Crenshaw. This is like, I'm gonna tell you a funny story. When I watched, what was it, Dreamgirls, I went to a black theater. I don't know if they knew that it was a musical, because I'll never forget the one time that Jennifer Hudson started singing. Somebody was like, hey, come on, man, if they start singing one more time. Like, this is the kind of movie going experience that you want, and you're like, oh my God. So this is the movie theater experience that you have to probably see it twice, because somebody's going to be yelling at the screen, talking back. Now, why they do that? Like, it is so
interactive.
It's an interactive movie going experience. It ain't 3D, but it is DD.
Now, does that scare you, being in the box office? Like, coming out, having to come out in theaters, does that scare you?
No. I think that's what we all want.
Because
Dwayne said earlier, I feel like it coming out Juneteenth weekend, is going to be create something that I'm hoping, not unlike July 4th, becomes a box office weekend that all studios are fighting for. And because we are coming out and establishing that, I'm excited for that. Because I think it's going to set a whole precedent of like, okay, now Juneteenth is a weekend that everyone wants. And if you can own Juneteenth, then it's like, you did something right with your film.
Gotcha. The blacks have actually been dominating the movie. Have you, like, between...
Those are the block, big blockbusters. Like, these are the movies to me that really tell the tale of what black people can do.
The Little Mermaid, Spider-Man, Transformers, We coming out this week. I was just like, well, okay, bet on black.
Right?
Yeah.
I think movies like this are the ones that get us more
absolutely.
Movies.
Absolutely.
All that stuff you named, those are big blockbusters.
They're supposed to do that.
You know what I mean?
That's IP.
Right. But when you have like a brown face, like I saw Transformers and I was just like, it's really good. And I was like, oh, it's because it has brown people.
Don't they make a difference?
Invested in this story. I was like, oh, and he got sickle cell? What? Like, when was the last time you saw sickle cell as like,
when they use sickle cell as a tool?
As somebody who got the trait, I was like, I feel seen.
We didn't feel like that when Tyrese was in Transformers.
He was in Transformers.
Why you?
Was he the lead?
Go check it out this weekend. And we appreciate you guys for joining us. Thank you
so much.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good
morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Home Depot.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on The Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes.
Right.
On The Breakfast Club.
Now, Charlamagne, are you familiar with the quote-unquote Home Depot girl?
Yeah, that's the young lady that was pretty and
yes, Ariana. Yeah, Ariana mm-hmm. Josephine. She posted a picture at Home Depot that went viral, and it's sad because of I guess that viral moment. People have been crazy. They've been pulling up to her work. They pinned her. They found out what school she lives at. So she what school she attended and where she lived at. So she pretty much had to change her whole routine, where she's talking about actually leaving that school and leaving that area because people are actually harassing her. They said that she actually had to leave Home Depot as well. She's if you go to her page, you can see her. She's a very young, pretty girl. She prays a lot, talks about the Bible a lot. Very, very, very smart and intelligent. Well, Shaquille O'Neal stopped through Home Depot yesterday looking for her.
I'm in Home Depot. I'm looking for somebody.
Did you find her?
No, I didn't. Next time, JP.
Tell me, have you seen her?
So how you going to report about all these people going to harass that young lady and then throw to Shaq going to harass that
well,
young lady?
Well, Shaq also DM'd her and said, don't let these people bother you. She said, thank you, Shaq, and said, don't read the comments. Stuff like that will drive you crazy. Have a great day. Tell all your boyfriends I said hello. Well, Shaq, who is probably one of the, I would say, best rap NBA players, if you would have to pick one.
Best rap NBA players? Best rapping NBA players of all time?
I think Shaq is up there.
He got the best music by far.
All right. Well, he also did a video there as well.
Should write a book about every step on my way up the ladder. I came out the mud. It was an ugly chapter. I don't even show up at your fancy parties. If you see me hanging out, it's off the finger rafters. Only bought a Dugo platinum. If you count my points and rebounds, quadruple platinum. Got two retired jerseys in two different cities. I'm still waiting on that call from the Orlando Magic. Look, I feel overly blessed. Put seven on the chat. I cannot be quoted for less. Taking trips day to day. I get global respect. When I'm not with Kenny Smith, I'm still close to a jet. Can't believe my little brother Kobe gone. Thank you for the three-peat. If I talked about that pain, you wouldn't believe me. Might go by the L.A. Sparks and change the name to the GGs. Get chucked the culture first. Shit gonna be a freebie.
Ooh, might buy the L.A. Sparks, change the name to the GGs. Drop on a Clues Bomb.
Shaq be rapping, man.
I mean, he's always made the best music.
Shaq be rapping.
I mean, at one point, I thought he was the best rapping NBA player of all time. I think Damian Lillard is definitely a better rapper, but Shaq has the best music.
Shaq got balls, though. Shaq be spitting.
Yeah, but Damian Lillard can rap. Flow, delivery, crazy.
Yeah, Shaq be rapping, too, though.
No, you ain't never heard Damian Lillard.
I have. We played records up here on Damian Lillard before.
Damian Lillard can rap.
Yeah, he can.
Shaq get busy. Shaq make better songs. Mm-hmm. But Damian can rap.
Now, yesterday, Meek Mill.
Hold on. Did he ever find a woman?
No, she wasn't there.
Oh.
She wasn't there. All right. Now, also, Meek Mill yesterday put this on Instagram and social media. I don't know why Meek put this up. Meek said, who think I fell off or don't really think I got it with rapping anymore?
Oh, God.
I'm for real. I need answers and tell the truth. I'm not taking it personal. I need to hear how people think before I do what I do, a social experiment.
Why do you care what people
Answer
on
if
social
you're a
media
of
think?
Mine.
Why do you care what people on social media think? Why do people need validation from social media? And by the way, Meek, you can't get on social media and ask a question like that.
Nah,
because nobody's there to give you serious answers.
No, not at all.
All they want to do is clown on social media.
That's it. That
Cut
is
it,
it
out.
And why, that's why, I said with Meek, you know what I mean?
Man.
It's one of those things. If you put that out there, this, I would say probably 80% is going to be BS and they're just going to be attacking you because they can't.
You might as well have put wrong answers only at the end of that tweet. You might as well have put that, Meek.
Yeah. So Meek is working on some new music. I definitely think we miss Meek out there, and I think we need some of those anthems and some of that music that Meek usually supplies, especially for the summertime. All right, and that is your Rumor Report. All right, when we come back, we got the People's Choice Mix. And don't forget, my car show is this weekend. It's like 2-3 days left in Houston, Father's Day weekend. We got everything. Old school cars, new school cars, donks, slabs, swangers. We ain't got no lowriders. I don't know if H-Town got lowriders. Haven't heard from the lowrider community. But pull up. We're going to have a bunch of cars. And, of course, kids 5 and under are free. It's going to be a great time if you want to bring your fathers, your grandfathers. It's a family event. There's rides, amusement games, all types of things. So I can't wait to see y'all this weekend in Houston. All right, let's get to the mix. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. At special sneak previews across the country, audiences are discovering The Flash. Tonight, see why people are calling it absolutely sensational. The Flash, tonight, only in theaters. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a shout-out to Terrence Crawford for joining us this morning.
Yeah, salute to Terrence Crawford, man. Can't wait to see him and Errol Spence get in the ring on July 29th. That is a mega fight. That is a fight that is long overdue. I'm glad that it's happening. And I got Errol Spence Jr.
Okay.
But I think they're going to fight more than once. You know what I mean? Unless it's like a decisive victory
right
by Errol Spence.
Now, how does the clause work with that? Like, you could just decide if I want a rematch or not? The rematch clause.
I think both of them got rematch clauses.
Right, but if I beat the brakes off you, you might say I want a rematch, but I can say I don't want a rematch, right? Or
no,
how does that
that's
work?
What the rematch
you
clause
automatic
is.
Rematch?
Yeah, rematch
regardless.
Clause means you get a rematch. Absolutely.
Regardless.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they both got a rematch clause. So if they, whatever happens, you're going to see two fights.
I'm 100% sure both of them got a rematch clause.
Mm. Okay. All right. And also, shout to the cast of The Blackening, which comes out this weekend, which is like a horror comedy. So shout to those brothers and sisters for joining us this morning.
Yeah, salute to Avon Orgy, salute to Jay Farrow, salute to St. Croix Walls, salute to Antoinette Robinson.
Dwayne Perkins.
Who else was up here? Grace Byers, mm-hmm. Salute to Grace Byers, salute to Dwayne Perkins, yes.
Yeah, I also DJed the...
Jay Farrow, did we say Jay Farrow?
I said Jay Farrow, okay. Yeah. I also DJed the after party when they had the premiere, which was crazy, so I want to salute everybody.
I saw Avon on stage losing her mind to Meek Mill.
Yeah, she was going... They almost threw her off stage, too, because...
No, man.
It's right when Fabulous was performing, so they didn't know who she was, so they were like, security! They were like, no, that's Avon. She's one of the stars of the film. But, yeah, shout to Avon. She has a great time. She had a good time that night. And also, shout to my parents who just hit me. I was like, is the movie really good? I want to know. I want to go this weekend. Yes, the movie is good, so... My parents are going to check out that movie this weekend.
Okay.
All right. When we come back, we got a positive notice. The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Shout to iHeartRadio. You know iHeartRadio is celebrating Black Music Month with the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. Shout out music from artists worldwide who have left their mark on hip-hop inside specially curated playlists celebrating the icons and anthems which have defined culture. All right? So open up your free iHeartRadio app and tap playlist to listen now. All right? When we come back, positive notice. The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now it's time to get up out of here, Charlamagne. You got a positive note?
I do, man. I want to tell y'all about the 3 C's real quick. I'm sure you heard of these before, but it's just a friendly reminder. Always remember about the 3 C's in life. Choices, chances, changes. You must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.